And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
My professor of reality, Mr. Woke. Is it Woke? W-A-U-K?
Walk. I walk.
Walk, okay. I'm walking here. I'm using the Dustin Hoffman. A pleasure to see you, Mr. Walk.
My pleasure, too.
My good friend Thomas Lifson is where I first saw your work, was on American Thinker.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And Thomas is a great friend of mine. I've known him for many years. And I said, how do I reach? Who is this man? How does he think like this? How does he dare think so clearly?
Tom's been illegal. Very good to me.
Isn't it illegal for you to think independently in America today?
It seems to be bordering on that.
Well, we have to report to higher authorities who can think for us. You're a retired FBI agent. You blog.
That's right. 2006, actually. It's longer than it seems.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You blog amazingly on your own website called At Meaning in History. Is that the best way for people to read your stuff?
Yeah, Substack, meaninginhistorysubstack.com. When I first retired, I started blogging on the Blogger platform, but you know, I became a little bit concerned at a certain point that about censorship, you know, possibly on a platform like that. And so, like many other people, I moved to Substack, brought all my archives over and stuff like that with the help of some friends, and got started on that. So that's where I've been for the last year or so, I guess, maybe a little more.
Well, you share my fear about the possibility of a grotesque World War III. With the United States throwing gasoline or Coleman lighter fuel on the Ukraine-Russia war.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Now, I want to read to the listeners, if I may, your latest blogs on meaning and history. The latest is neocons to offer nukes to KSA of the corruption of our politics. KSA meaning Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Quick roundup, politics, geopolitics, it's all intertwined. Roundup, kill the cows before they kill us. The coming coup, updating Michael Anton. Meaning and history, a Russian perspective on the state of the war. Now, that's unique. Because I know a little bit about history, and I know what the Russians think about this. Americans are completely ignorant of their own history. How could they even know the history of Russia?
Yeah, so true.
It's so astounding. True. You know, the where do you want to begin, Mr. Walk?
Whatever's best for you.
How about a Russian perspective on the state of the war?
Certainly.
So I have your article in front of me. Which one do I have? Here it is, A Russian Perspective on the State of the War. Mark Walk.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm going to read a little bit of it, if I may, just to start it off.
Sure, sure.
Russia prefers a global and negotiated settlement to a settlement reached exclusively on the battlefield. Second, a characteristically Russian preoccupation with the role of Poland. Interesting. Poland, that's a very big story unto itself. Where did they suddenly become so militant? I don't know. And you say Russia's fighting in Ukraine last year was tied to congressional elections. Moscow expected that the balance of power would change somewhat, but no one achieved decisive success. The fighting is now tied to the 2024 presidential election. And Biden, so-called, in quotes, remains in power. Biden is, of course, an algorithm. The fighting will drag on even further. If Trump, quote unquote, another algorithm wins, it will be possible to conduct a constructive dialogue with him. And you're saying there's no understanding of Russia's position in the West either. But Europe is receiving huge damage from the sanctions they're imposing on Russia, something we don't know about. And a huge amount of money is flowing into the black hole called Ukraine. And weapons, by the way, as I have read, are being sold on the black market before they even reach Ukraine. How is that possible?
Yeah.
Can you please expound on any of this?
Well, just starting from the Russian perspective, what is the Russian perspective? You know, we know most Americans are have only the sketchiest idea of Russia's history. We've been gaslighted to believe that throughout history, Russia has been an aggressive, expansive power. Now, of course, to some extent, there's truth in that, just as the United States has been an expansive power in North America, you know, the stretching our frontiers and so forth. And Russia did the same thing across Siberia. And on the other hand, they've also been subject to foreign invasions from the West, which most Americans are totally unaware of. The wars with Poland and Lithuania, which were major, major land powers in Eastern Europe throughout much of history, and Sweden. We see Sweden joining NATO, and we think, oh, well, that's just a reaction to the threat of Russia. In fact, the Swedish land empire met its Waterloo at Poltava in Ukraine, at the Battle of Poltava, very deep in Ukraine, east of Kiev. We don't think of Sweden as being an empire, but it was until the 18th century.
Hard to believe.
So this is their perspective.
We see Swedes as a neutral country of smiling blonde people.
Yeah, with braids like Greta Thunberg. But
Say? Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg, the great genius meteorologist who never went to never went to college. That one.
That one, exactly, yes. But following that, there was the Napoleonic invasion. After that, of course, there were a couple world wars. There was the Crimean War when France and Britain went to war on behalf of the Ottoman Empire, when Russia was expanding to the Black Sea against the Ottoman Empire. It's been a continual history of warfare initiated to a great extent from the West. And this is how they perceive us. Even after World War I, how many Americans are aware that the United States had sent troops actually to Russia? You know, Russia has never sent troops to the United States, but this has happened to them. So that's their perspective. And when they see us supporting traditional enemies against them, you can imagine this raises alarm bells for them.
Mark, the Ukrainians are being slaughtered. General Colonel McGregor has estimated 350 to 400,000 dead Ukrainians, according to his source.
It's an incredible tragedy.
We lost 50,000 men in Vietnam, and we've never recovered from the national pain or loss. People still feel it. So they've lost eight times that number with a country one-eighth the size, and we keep egging them on to go into the meat grinder. Are the Ukrainians at the point of rebelling against the Zelensky Azov regime?
It's hard to say whether they're at the point of rebelling. You know, I think rebellion would have to come from within the military leadership. At this point,
never.
the society is almost on the verge of collapse. I've seen many estimates that suggest that a nation that was close to 40 million is at about half that population at this point. So many of them having already left for, you know, destinations west.
I have to interject.
The military.
I can't believe what I read yesterday, Mark. This is amazing. This Zelensky has the old, you know, my people came from Belarus. I grew up in New York on the Lower East Side, so I know what negotiating and bargaining is with this type. No matter what you give them, they say it's not enough. Give me more. So right after he gets F-16, Zelensky says, very good. We need more now. Now we want more. Give Ivan 1% of the GDP of all NATO countries. How do they get away with this?
They have the support of the organized leadership of the West. It's a, you know, kind of a combination of the globalist elite in the World Economic Forum, led by Soros, and the war hawk neocon factions of the in America and Great Britain. They're the ones enabling it. They're the ones, their support is what encourages Zelensky and the rest to keep asking for more. And of course, you know, there are the oligarchs behind, who are the ones really behind Zelensky, who are profiting, greatly from this war.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
So he knows that he's being used, but he enjoys it because he's got such acclaim. Do you agree with me that after this is over, and it has to end, there's no question in my mind, one way or the other, this Ukraine-Russia war will have to come to an end. I think it will. I don't think it's going to go nuclear or become thermonuclear and international, although it could by accident. But let's say it does.
Yeah, you know, I'm optimistic as you are in that sense. I mean, it's a great tragedy and all that. It's hard to speak of optimism. But I would come down on your side in that regard, that somehow or other it has to come to an end.
When it does, I have predicted on my last podcast, there will be a wave of anti-Semitism not seen in 80 years, not only in Europe, in Russia, but in the around the world. And they will all blame Zelensky, who has made his, quote, Jewish heritage, which is nominal or very marginal, key to his... Mm-hmm. Key to his identity, when, you know, he's not rabbinic. He's not a pious man by any definition. And I'm not here to judge another man's belief system, but when you start using your religion as a weapon, which he has done in order to kosher himself and make himself above the law, it's going to be used against him, I believe. And I believe we could see a wave of anti-Semitism. I know that's a rational possibility, but you're a realist and I'm more of a, dreamer than you are. Do you think that could happen?
That's a real tough call.
Okay.
Here in the U.S., the group that I typically refer to neocons, and I know a lot of people regard that as kind of a code word for people like Victoria Nuland, the Kagans, and other Jewish people like that.
Liberal.
But it does. It embraces other, you could call them American, those who embrace the idea of American empire around the world, and have since World War II. So it's more complicated than that. However, it's true, as you suggest, that some of the face faces and names most associated with this war and the looming tragedy, that disaster for the U.S. that we see, because it will lead to, if and when it comes to an end, I believe it will lead to a reconfiguration of our role in the world. And those are the faces and names most closely associated with that. I think most informed people understand that, as you say, Biden is an algorithm, that he's not truly in charge of this. And so, yes, that I don't believe it will lead to this wave of anti-Semitism that you fear. But on the other hand, you'd be a fool not to worry, be concerned about that.
When Zelensky's cohorts even attacked Israel the other day, they said, "How dare you mistreat Ukrainian refugees arriving in Israel?" They have no limits.
I didn't pick up on that.
Mark, they attack everyone who helps them. Anyone who lends a hand is not good enough for them. I mean, what do they think? They're in the Bronx selling locks?
Well, they have their own blacklist with people like Scott Ritter on it.
Oh.
I haven't checked it. Maybe I'm on there too.
Oh, I'm sure I can't go there and buy a Perushki anymore. I mean, I would like to go and see what a real Ukrainian Perushki tastes like, but I'll have to settle for the frozen ones that I buy in the local market. So we're all concerned about what's going on with Ukraine, Russia. Now, I have to keep referring to Colonel McGregor because he's a military man and I'm not, who says Russia's been using a hands-off approach in their war. They've never used maximum force, or they would have obliterated Ukraine by now. Do you concur with that viewpoint?
Yeah, I do. And I think there are deep cultural and historical reasons why they are doing that. They do not want to Kiev and Rus is regarded as the homeland, not simply for Ukraine, which was, never a sovereign nation until after the Cold War. But it's considered the cultural origin for Russian culture as well. Some of the earliest Russian writers like Gogol were, in fact, largely Ukrainian in background. Mm. There are deep ties there. And, just as we would shudder at the idea of an internecine war within our own culture, so too do the Russians. They would still seek some sort of reconciliation with Ukrainians. Mm. The ties are very close. Throughout not only Ukraine with its Russian population, but in Russia itself, a large portion of the population has ties to Ukraine within their own families. There are good reasons why they should have avoided all-out war, if it came to a widening of the war, I believe that we would see the gloves come off.
I understand by what I have read and by what I have heard from experts that Putin himself is actually a liberal and represents a more liberal, dovish faction of the Russian leadership. People don't understand that in America, but behind him are some very hard hawks who want to smash Kiev, and they have for over a year. They want to use brutal maximum force and end this thing. Is that your perspective?
Yeah, I think that's quite true. The criticism in Russia of Putin comes from what you could call the right. His own background in the KGB, people think, they think of the KGB as a monolithic organization, just like the FBI used to be or something like that. But in fact, Putin's background, his best foreign language is actually German. And he was a great admirer of the West. He was stationed in Germany, or at least in East Germany. But he would be regarded within Russia as very much a liberal and Western-oriented. Mm. And that's why I argued, as you quoted there, that he would still prefer, even now, after all this war, he would prefer a negotiated settlement to allow Russia to coexist, at least, with the West, without open warfare. But coexistence requires mutual respect and some degree of understanding, and that seems to be lacking in our, you know, ruling establishments, our political establishments, and our diplomatic establishment. You know, the kind of talk that we hear in Congress directed toward both Russia and China, you know, dismissing him as a dictator and so forth and so on. It's cartoonish at best.
It is. And you know, Mark, you know, I read social media a lot. I'm on Twitter an awful lot and Facebook, mainly Twitter. I find it a great platform, by the way, no matter what anyone says. People set policy on Twitter. You know, I hear people say, why are you on Twitter? It's for children. I said, oh, that's 10 years ago. I said, world leaders set policy on Twitter right now. It's an important platform. So I look at what people say about Russia. They're still calling it a communist nation, number one. And they're calling Putin a communist dictator, as though we're stuck in the era of Khrushchev or Stalin. And number two, they're calling Ukraine a democracy, that we're fighting for a democracy, a country that has closed down the Orthodox Church, Christian Church, closed down TV and radio stations, closed down opposition newspapers, banned peace
opposition political parties.
They call, we're fighting for democracy. We're fighting for a dictatorship in Ukraine right now.
Well, that's it's all like newspeak, you know.
Yeah.
What's democracy?
I don't know.
It's like, you know, democracy is when we cancel misinformation or, you know, I take a look at what's going on right here.
Oh, democracy is when you arrest a former president and all his lawyers and bring them into a kangaroo court in Georgia run by the daughter of a DA who's the daughter of a Black Panther. That's democracy, Mark.
Democracy in America, sure.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
No, I see that they're pulling in Rudy Giuliani, a man who saved New York City, as a co-conspirator with Trump. Have you ever seen anything like this in, you're an FBI, ex-FBI agent. Have you ever heard of anything like this in your life?
No, you know, I retired in 2006, mandatory retirement. And, you know, I started, you know, writing about history and philosophy and stuff like that. And when Obama was elected, and started talking about fundamental transformations of the country, that I really kind of that really got me going as far as interest in. I've always been interested in politics, but that really rang some alarm bells for me. And I mean, I knew in 2006 when I retired that the FBI was becoming a different organization that I had been in for 30 years. But when the Russia hoax began in 2015, 2016, and I saw what was going on, you know, I worked for over 20 years in counterintelligence.
I'm sorry, and Mark, I'm sorry, I missed that.
FISA.
You worked for 20
years.
Mark, I can't hear you. You worked for 20 years in what, please?
Counterintelligence.
Okay, sorry. Got it.
And yeah, including Russian and Chinese matters.
Oh.
And, you know, when I saw what was going on with the FISAs that were being directed against Trump, it was clearly against Trump, even though he wasn't named. And I had a legal background in national security stuff, too.
Hmm.
So when I saw that going on, then that's when I became more involved in a lot of these geopolitical matters, because it was clear that there was a silent kind of legal coup, a lawfare coup going on within the United States, and that the FBI as an organization had been, to an alarming degree, co-opted in that effort. You know, it's a complicated story. You know, it involves, it's not just the FBI, people talk about the FBI, but it's also DOJ, as well as the rest of the intelligence community. And, you know, State Department is involved in it as well. But, you know, my familiarity was with the FBI, and I could see that the organization had been co-opted into this, call it a deep state, a political establishment, uniparty war against a foreign invader, Trump, an outsider who had to be gotten rid of. And it's still going on. Here we are.
I've never seen anything like this where they arrest attorneys. I've never seen it in all my years of watching politics.
You're absolutely right about that.
Never. I've never seen anything like this. Now, in a recent article, Mark, you write about a Swiss billionaire I never heard of, Hans-Jörg Wyss.
Yeah, and I'd never heard about him either.
W-Y-S-S, Hans-Jörg Wyss, who makes huge donations to influence American politics. He was behind pushing the Russia hoax collusion against Trump. Who is this Hans-Jörg Wyss?
Yeah, that really raised my antennae when I saw that he had been funding all of, here's a major source of foreign money. I mean, what are we talking about? Hundreds of millions of dollars being funneled into progressive organizations in the U.S. for which there's no financial accountability. And we know that those organizations were supporting the whole Russia hoax narrative against Trump, and it coming from abroad. I tried to do a little bit of research on the guy to see who is this guy. I'm really not clear on who the guy really is.
Yeah,
he made his fortune on medical equipment, but he's spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's doing it not through direct campaign contributions. We see the Soroses and people like that making campaign contributions, but he's giving it to the non-campaign organizations who are doing so much of the so-called get out the vote and voter registration stuff, who are leading the attacks, on conservatives. It was a real eye-opening article for me, I got to say.
Hans-Jörg Wyss, sort of a Soros type, very far left, born in 1935, Swiss billionaire businessman, extreme far left, hates Trump. What's this about? Who is he?
I have to believe that he is tied in to the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the globalist movement. This is where the hatred for Putin comes from, too. The public enemy number one persona of Putin. It's because, he is probably the biggest obstacle in the world today to the globalist agenda, because he is the champion of a sovereign Russian nation. The globalist agenda and the agenda of most of our progressive politicians is one world government. He stands athwart that, espousing a sovereign Russia, and just not very coincidentally, Trump's whole MAGA agenda is about a sovereign America. That's why the hatred for Trump. But these are the great obstacles to the globalist takeover, and this is why this incredibly virulent hatred for them.
You know, I go on Google under this name, Wyss, call him Hans-Jörg Wyss, Wyss, and I read how nice he is to the environment about the Wyss Foundation. And it's about environment, and you see nice antelope in the fields to conserve. You know, the Wyss Foundation to improve lives, empower communities, and strengthen connections to the land, campaign for nature, and they show nice grazing antelope or moose, whatever they call them. I'm sorry, from New York. I don't know the difference between a moose. I have a relative who hunts these things and makes hamburgers out of them. But okay, nothing against hunting. God bless them. They're the ones who will fight the wars. And he knows how to shoot a rifle from a long distance. But now he's in saving Wyoming? What was this guy? He's a compassionate guy who made a lot of money selling a medical product for something or other to some other big corporation. So why is he taking his fortune to meddle in America and destroy our democracy?
Well, because America is the largest power. You know, it's the military. I think Europe has no real military power, and they know that they need a military to back up their globalist agenda. They need America. They need to influence and control in America, and so that's why. Big secret there.
I see he went to Harvard Business School, which now it all adds up to me. The other day I interviewed Joel Pollack of Breitbart, who was a Harvard law graduate. And I said, well, what's going on in Israel? He said, well, look, Michael, he said, the Israeli Supreme Court largely, they all went to Harvard Law School. And he said, they all come out of Harvard with an idea that they're going to rule the world. They're smarter than everybody and they have a right to rule the world. Here's another one. Went to Harvard Business School. Now he thinks he should rule the world. It seems that these individuals they have created their own government, a world government with their money, and they are ruling the world. They've gotten us into a foreign war. They put masks on us. They jabbed us with a questionable injection or shall I say preventive injection.
Injection works for me.
Injection. You know, I like the word injection. Jabbed us with a questionable, untested injection. They've got us in a foreign war. They ripped our border with Mexico open. They're flooding America with drugs. They have basically put handcuffs on our police, permitting, quote, minorities to run rampant in the streets with a minority crime wave unlike any ever seen in American history.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
Podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
You know, I just tweeted something which you as a lawman you might relate to this one. Oakland, California. I live nearby, so I tweeted the following because we have a crime wave. No one's ever seen anything like it. We saw pictures. I put it on my website yesterday. My jaw hung out of a gang of youths or teens grabbing a young white woman out of her car. She was walking, probably a liberal woman, you know, from the area.
Right.
And they come up to her.
I saw that story, yeah.
And she looks like she's trying to reason with them for 1 second. She thinks that she can appeal to them. They grab her by the hair and drag her on the pavement, rip her phone and purse apart, and then speed off in their stolen Lexus. So this didn't come out of the blue, Mark. My tweet, your thought. No. Oakland, California. For years, police attacked as racist pigs by commie mayor, sued by, quote, civil rights lawyer John Burris. Monitored by feds, now crime out of control, women attacked in streets, no jail time. That's sort of summarized. That's why I like Twitter. Makes you think quickly.
Yeah. You can spend all day on it. And yet, you know, just the other day, speaking on this whole crime thing, I saw that our mayor here in Chicago announced that, you know, with something like in the first 100 days of his administration, there have been over 200 people shot and killed here in Chicago. And he announced that a major part of his administration's agenda would be what he called climate justice.
Well, that's important. Sure.
I guess that's in opposition to human justice or something.
Well, you live in Chicago. Is that what you live in that great?
Well, near Chicago.
Well, you know, I think of Chicago as one of America's greatest cities. One of the greatest cities on earth, not too many years ago, has now descended into absolute chaos and destruction again under leftist minority mayors. And
true.
This is 100% true. And the same credo that destroyed towns and villages is now destroying our great cities and our civilization itself. So we all know this, but the question is, when is it going to turn around? We all pray every day to wake up and hear something changed. Somebody stepped in from the left. A centrist Democrat appeared and said, enough is enough and I'm cracking down. But we don't see that. We just don't see that. So, Mark, on your other articles, which are brilliant, and I do read them because you're so concise. You're very concise. I shouldn't say contrite. I almost accidentally said contrite.
I hear you like words.
I'd like to go on to the issue of Niger. No one even knows what Niger is. Not Niger. Sorry, I'm mispronouncing it. Niger. I must get the proper French pronunciation. It's near Nigeria, but it's not Nigeria. It's not a suburb of Nigeria. It's an entire nation called Niger. Why is Niger suddenly at the forefront of world news? I know that they have almost all the uranium that is used in the European nuclear reactors. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true. And they also would be, there's a big pipeline being planned to run from Nigeria, which of course is a major oil producer and gas too, I guess. It would run all the way across the Sahara through, it would pass through Niger and Algeria. And from Algeria, it would branch off to Spain, Italy, France. It's important in and of itself, this pipeline plan, but it's taken on added importance because of the destruction, the U.S. sabotage of the Nord Stream pipeline has, and the impending, I think it's this year, the cutoff from Russian energy products is going to become much more complete. And so this, the use of Africa as a source of energy has taken on much greater importance. You know, now the people in Niger are demanding a fair deal for their resources, and the French and the United States are on the ground there. The French, I believe, may have left. The United States has an enormous $100 million drone base. It can also handle other aircraft too in Niger, used to surveil the region. To try to keep it under control. You know, the real irony in this is that the whole area of the what they call the Sahel, the area between the tropical coastal areas like in Nigeria and the actual Sahara Desert, so much of the unrest there was caused by our own Hillary-led regime change projects. For example, in Libya, that has become a conduit for, you know, vast shipments of arms and radical groups throughout that area that they've been contending with. It's just one more example of how these neocon efforts at regime change have backfired in a major way.
Wait, I want to follow this for a minute. Hillary boasted after Gaddafi was killed, we came, we saw, we killed him. I'll never forget that.
I never
heard a world leader ever gloat over killing another world leader until now.
Especially as Secretary of State. There's diplomacy for you, comrade.
I couldn't believe it. So was Gaddafi a certifiably bad guy? What was he doing that warranted his death?
Well, You know what? What I have been reading recently is that he was attempting to organize a gold-backed currency for African nations.
Oh,
he was trying to organize some sort of consortium of African nations. Oh. This impinged directly on French control of most of, you know, what when we were younger was called French West Africa.
Uh-huh.
Which included so many of those countries like Chad and Niger and Mali, which all border on Algeria, which was also French for so long, all border on Libya. And it was the French who led the drive to take out Gaddafi. Now, was he a good guy? I you know, there are no good guys in so many places in the world, including in Washington, D.C.
Yes. I'm glad you added that.
You know, but, you know, the real question is, has more good come of what happened there with Hillary's regime change, or has more evil come of it? I think we see more evil has come of it. The flood of migration into Europe, the unrest throughout the area, the Islamist movements, terrorist movements in northern Nigeria. You could go on and on. You know, it's led to incredible human suffering, and you know, nobody's making apologies for it.
Savage, Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Before we go, I think I'll get your perspective on an issue that we all are wondering about. We have a war raging out of control, 300,000-400,000 dead Ukrainian men, 50,000 dead Russians, 8 million Ukrainians displaced by a war that was unnecessary, that was orchestrated by John McCain, Victoria Nuland, Hillary Clinton, and others going back to the Maidan Revolution of 2013, 2014. The question is, where's the peace movement in America? Where's hey, hey, ho, ho? Where's the peace marches? Where is the entire anti-war movement? Why is there no outcry from the American fake left? The answer, in my opinion, your opinion, is that there never was an anti-war movement. It was an anti-American movement that was disguised as an anti-war movement.
Yeah, and another way of putting that, and I actually was thinking about this morning because I was reading an article by Alistair Crook, and he addresses the phenomenon that here that the U.S. or the collective West is almost like a ship cruising toward an iceberg that's in plain sight, and yet unable to change direction, to change course.
Well done.
I would say that, you know, along with what you were talking about, the so-called peace movement, I think that was always just a matter of tactics, that the left has always been a party of war in one form or another.
Wow.
You know, war against ordinary people, war against human nature as we understand it. You know, it's like the WEF. This is a leftist movement, and they're aiming for a transhumanist future for us all, a eugenic future. All of this war is simply the peace movement. You could call it war by other means.
I have to repeat how people can reach you. What's the easiest way for someone listening to this podcast to read Mark Walk's columns, WAUK? You're a brilliant man, and I'm so happy that you had the time to be on the Michael Savage podcast. Easiest way to find you is Substack.
Well, listen, yeah, thanks so much for having me. the easiest way the is it all one word, meaning in history,
right?
Substack.com. That'll get you there.
So if I Google meaning in history, I found you immediately. Led me right to your Substack.
Oh, okay, good. You know, it's hard. You know, with Google, you never can.
Oh, yeah, you're in the algorithm. You made it. By the way, what does the word Substack refer to? What does that mean? I mean, I'm in the media, and I still don't know what it means.
Nor do I. I'm on
it every day. I know. Substack, you know, sounds good. Something on a cruise ship.
Every day, all day, and I have no idea.
Okay, so I'm going to show you how it works. I'm going on Google right now, show you that you have made it into the algorithm, Mark Wolk, and right away it pops up in the Google search on the Substack.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Retired FBI agent, husband, retired FBI agent, husband, father, incorrigible amateur.
Yeah, because I keep getting distracted.
Well, your columns are worth reading. What's amazing is they're very succinct and they're short. They're to the point. And I love how you put a time when you say 8-minute read, 5-minute read, 10-minute read. So people don't think they're going to have to go onto like the New Yorker and spend 3 hours reading a column and forget what they were reading.
Well, actually, Substack does that for me. I don't do that.
Oh.
they give the time estimates.
You know, I'm going to bring up something out of the blue. I was bored yesterday since it's summertime, and I sometimes used to do reading in the summer. So I said, you know what, I'm going to read something light today. I picked up an 1,100-page book that I bought a year ago that I've looked at. It's astounding. Spengler's The Death of the West, Volumes 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we are.
One day I hope you can come back and we can discuss who I think is one of the greatest geniuses in history and very well respected at his time. The book became a bestseller in Germany. In post-World War I Germany, he was a raging, well-known philosopher, writer. He's sort of been forgotten. I don't even think he's being taught much in the universities today. But his predictions and his observations are Aristotelian. I've never seen anything quite as brilliant, and it's in translation. It's fantastic. I hope one day you can come back and give me your interpretation of where. You know, he did predict the death of the West, and he did say in plain English that the future belonged to the Asian people. He saw China rising, and when he wrote, it was published in 1918.
Well, not too many years, not too many years ago, that would have seemed outlandish. You know, we seem to be on the rise, but, you know, the way things are going now, who's to say we're not, on the decline.
You know, I just saw a show. You speak about the rise of China. And I saw a National Geographic show or something along those lines on the terracotta army of some ancient emperor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole story unto itself, because I think that under General Milley, we have a terracotta army in America. But I'll leave that for another.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good title, isn't it? The Terracotta Army. God, that's terrible.
Fragile.
Well, as long as they can attack on the field with very sharp high heels, I'm sure we'll be fine.
Stilettos.
Yeah, those heels can do a lot of damage in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Mark, a pleasure to speak to such a brilliant man. I'm glad you found the time to spend with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Mark. W-A-U-C-K, Mark Walk. W-A-U-C-K, Mark Walk. Meaning in history. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care, Michael. Bye.
Bye now. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.